Now then, good morning. Welcome to the papers. It's Friday, April 5th, 2024. And Storm Kathleen is threatening the UK today. If you believe the broadcast media, in any case. It is a bit windy out there in Salford and wet. Although we dodged the rain this morning, the puppies and myself, we managed to get out for just over an hour and back without being drenched. So that's a positive start to this Friday and to the weekend. Hope all is well with you. Excuse me. And thank you, as always, for downloading the podcast. I appreciate it. To the front pages, then, The Guardian. Biden demands Gaza ceasefire in strongest rebuke yet to Israel. Strongest rebuke. This is farcical, isn't it? Featured on several of the front pages, by the way. A report about a phone call between US President Joe Biden and the Israeli PM Netanyahu. Allegedly, Biden said his country's support for Israel would depend on steps being taken to address civilian harm and humanitarian suffering in Gaza. This, according to The Guardian, is Biden's strongest rebuke, yet it is pathetic. As I said, and you're probably tired of hearing it, not from me, but from other, also from other independent content creators. A real rebuke would be, listen, I'm going to the United Nations to get support for a no-fly zone. We're going to protect the skies above Palestine. We'll shoot down any Israeli plane that takes to the skies over Palestine. We're going to sanction you and every one of your government ministers. We're going to freeze all of your assets overseas. We're going to starve you back to the Stone Age, unless you stop the genocide immediately. That would be a rebuke, by any definition of rebuke. But this mealy-mouthed bullshit from Biden, nonsense. The Daily Telegraph, Biden tells Israel stop killing civilians. Yes. Also on the front page of the Telegraph, primary pupils allowed to pick their gender. Number of papers going with this, I'll come back to it later. Tory MP in gay honey trap, also on the front page of the Telegraph, but that's a Times exclusive, we'll come back to that as well. Front page of the I, Sunak urged to publish legal advice on arms sales to Israel. So you'll know by now, we talked about it in yesterday's Richie Allen radio show. 600 lawyers, academics, former judges, including very senior former judges, wrote to the government and said, you are complicit in genocide. It is simple as that. You are, and you must suspend arms sales or arms deals with Israel immediately. The 600 academics, lawyers and judges also recommended sanctions be placed against senior Israeli officials. Now, the rest of Parliament, led by the Labour Party, wants to see this advice, wants to see the letter. And cross-party calls to see the advice given to the Labour Party. The Times. Senior Tory, I gave MPs numbers to honey trap. We'll definitely come back to this. This is an exclusive in the Times. It's about senior Tory MP William Ragg. He has admitted to giving out the personal phone numbers of fellow MPs to somebody he met on a dating app. The Daily Mail, top Tory, I gave MPs numbers to sex sting plotter. Same story. Daily Express headline, make no mistake, migrant flights to take off soon. The never-ending saga of the Rwanda flights. A Home Office source has told the Express that preparations are being made to block any attempts to delay or frustrate the progress of the government's Rwanda deportation bill. You might remember, in recent days, the UK Prime Minister has threatened to pull the UK out of the European Court of Human Rights if the European Court of Human Rights attempts to block any deportation of asylum seekers to Rwanda. Financial Times, Chinese state banks hold key role in future of Thames Water. So the Financial Times says that two state-owned Chinese banks could be crucial in determining what happens with Thames Water. The firm is trying to find extra cash after investors said they would not give the water company more money for repairs and for investment in infrastructure. We've talked a lot about it on the Richie Allen Show. The Daily Mirror. Justice in the name of Sharon. After 19 years, finally justice in the name of Sharon. And this is the police officer, Sharon Beshinevsky, that's right. She was murdered in Bradford in November 2005. She was shot dead. And it is believed that she was shot dead by somebody planning an armed robbery. The Daily Mirror says Piran Dita Khan, a 75-year-old, was the last of seven men involved in the killing of her, Sharon Beshinevsky, and he will now face trial. The Metro, tied up and trapped in river, is the headline. And this is an unusual murder investigation. It's a soldier, a 25-year-old soldier called Charlie Saywell. He was found dead in the River Medway in Kent. He vanished on a night out. According to the Metro, his body was discovered under a boat with his legs and body bound by rope. So it's obvious he was murdered then, this soldier who was on a night out. The Sun, it's a good day for Charles, is the headline on the front page of The Sun, which also sports a photograph of Charles and Camilla standing on an Aussie beach in 2018. The Sun reports that the royal couple are planning a two-week return visit in October. What a ridiculous story to lead with on the front page of The Sun. Of course, they're referencing his cancer diagnosis, but he will be going to Australia in October. Yes, and taxpayers in this country will be paying for it. It's preposterous. Daily Star, what time is it on the moon, is the headline. The Daily Star is late to the party here. This is a story which broke earlier in the week. A story about plans to establish a unified standard of time for the moon, giving the moon its own time zone. The Star's a bit late, as I said, to this party. Right, so as usual, let's go inside the papers now. The Guardian, let's start with The Guardian. This is interesting. There are many facets to this, I think. Teachers' union leader calls for inquiry into misogyny among young men in the UK. So this is Daniel Kibede. He's the General Secretary of the National Education Union. And he says that sexism and misogyny is a huge issue in schools and it should not be left to parents and schools to police, that the government needs to involve itself, he reckons. So again, this new General Secretary of the National Education Union says a huge issue in schools, misogyny and sexism, and he says he has particular concerns around the ease with which pupils are accessing aggressive, hardcore pornography on their phones. Kibede says the government, according to The Guardian, had completely failed to tackle the issue, which is affecting boys' views of women and relationships. He is urging ministers to take on big tech to ensure that young people cannot access damaging material. He was teaching maths, was Daniel Kibede, in his secondary school until his election as General Secretary of the National Education Union. He says this problem is widespread and that he has first-hand experience of it, having personally worked with female pupils who had been repeated victims of abuse, violence and sexual assault. Now, there will be a debate on this issue today at the NEU's annual conference in Bournemouth. And ahead of the debate, he said, it's very fair to say that there's a real problem with sexism and misogyny within schools. I have my own anecdotes, I'm sure, at conference members will share their stories. There is a real problem with what young people can access via their smartphone with real ease. He went on to say, it isn't just influencers such as Andrew Tate, but aggressive hardcore porn, which is really easily accessible to young people. This stuff is having a real impact, particularly on young boys and young men and their views of women and relationships. It's a problem, I think, that government has completely failed to intervene in, There's been no real regulation, and it's causing a huge issue in our schools. There's no doubt about that. I'm asking you for your thoughts on this, even though this is a podcast, and I won't be able to read your thoughts, your opinions on it in real time. The genie seems to be out of the bottle when it comes to smartphones, doesn't it? You will probably often see, as I see, whenever I come across young people, and I'm living in the middle of about five different schools, primary and secondary, and I constantly see young kids either walking around glued to their smartphones, or sitting around glued to their smartphones, or dancing around while performing in front of the camera on their smartphones. I see this all the time. I don't know what the answer to this is. It's my belief that parents ultimately bear the responsibility when it comes to educating their children. Really, right? Parents ultimately, the responsibility lies with them, right? Parents should be doing, I suppose, everything they can to ensure that they know what sort of materials their children, not just boys, but their children are accessing when they go online, whether it's on a smartphone or whether it's on a laptop. Is watching violent, hardcore pornography impacting on young men? The answer is, I suppose, and it's an opinion, it must be having some impact on them. It must be. I have, like most other people who've ever gone onto a pornographic website, I've been struck by the fact that pretty much front page stuff, what you're offered immediately, is very violent and, yeah, very, in some cases, very disturbing pornography. A far, far cry from the stuff that we saw when we were younger, when we were in our teens, and we might have sneaked a video out of a video shop, or, you know, that friend, there was always that friend who had a video of pornography. It was very soft stuff with cheesy music. It's certainly changed, and is it impacting on how young men see women in general? Maybe it is. What do you do about it? I don't know. Do governments really care about the mental well-being of young men? I doubt it. Could it be that this issue will be used to recommend, I don't know, some sort of ID system for accessing the internet? Might that be the payoff here? That you say, right, in order to try and prevent young people seeing things they shouldn't see online, everybody, no matter what age you are, no matter how experienced you are, you from now on in, you might need an ID, a digital ID to access the internet. I don't know. But the solutions to this will, they usually are a further encroachment by the authorities on your individual freedoms to read what you choose to read and to watch what you choose to watch. I'll leave it there. It's a complicated one. I have no doubt the violent stuff is impacting on young men, but to what extent, I don't know. Is there a huge problem with misogyny and sexism? I'd like to think there isn't, that this is an exaggeration. But again, I'm not working in schools. I spend very little time around young people, so I don't know. Let's talk about the Times exclusive. Honey Trap sexed scandal. Tory MP William Ragg admits leaking phone numbers. This is really interesting. Ragg is a very senior MP, chairman of a Commons Select Committee, and he has told the Times that he handed over the personal phone numbers of colleagues, of fellow MPs, to a man he met on Grindr, which is a gay dating app. He sent the man whom he met on Grindr intimate pictures of himself, and then he was blackmailed effectively by the man. The man told him that Ragg should send him the details of other MPs, which Ragg did because he was terrified at what this guy had on him. So he's the vice chairman of the 1922 committee. Ragg said he was scared. The man had compromising things on me, so he handed over the details. Now, the Times says this incident has heightened concerns over the vulnerability of MPs to cyber attacks. It is being investigated by Leicestershire Police because Leicestershire Police has received a complaint of malicious communications against a parliamentarian. This is known as spear phishing, a technique used to gather highly personalised, sensitive or compromising material. So the Times actually approached William Ragg, because the Times spoke to victims who believed he was involved. He's 36, is Rag. He's an MP in Greater Manchester, Hazel Grove. He's openly gay. He says he's mortified and has apologised for his weakness. He spoke to the Times and said, quote, they had compromising things on me. They wouldn't leave me alone. They would ask for people. I gave them some numbers. Not all of them. I told him to stop. He's manipulated me now and I've hurt other people. I got chatting to a guy on an app. We exchanged pictures. We were meant to meet up for drinks. Then we didn't. Then he began asking for numbers of people. I was worried because he had stuff on me. He gave me a WhatsApp number, which doesn't work. Now, William Ragg is obviously not the sharpest tool in the box, is he? I mean, what sort of plonker is William Ragg? He is a member of the Conservative Party, a very senior MP, the chair of a select committee. What sort of dickhead sends compromising photographs to some bloke over some app? It's outrageously stupid, and it throws up a number of questions. Can you believe Ragg? What's going on? He says, I've hurt people by being weak. Weird, this one. I'm counting the minutes till it's blamed on Russia or blamed on China. We know that Mossad deals in, peddles in this sort of, not espionage, but this sort of compromising activity, doesn't it? Not just in the UK, but around the world, trying to seduce or induce or set up the circumstances where powerful people, now I'm not saying William Ragg is powerful, but politicians or people in industry leave themselves vulnerable to things like this, and then they're compromised, and then the intelligence agencies can hold this stuff over them and manipulate them as they see fit into doing things maybe the politicians or the business people might not want to do. It's very interesting, and it's receiving a lot of coverage by the broadcast media this morning. Rag met a guy on Grindr, sent him compromising photographs. He's probably sent him, excuse my language, if there are children listening, you know, turn down the volume. He sent him a dick pic, right? More than likely. And again, I can't believe that an MP would be that stupid. But seemingly they are that stupid. And Rag is mortified now. It's being investigated. I wouldn't imagine Rag will be standing at the next general election. So that's a big story. Today, broadcast story. Telegraph, how international law could force Britain to stop arms sales to Israel. Now, according to the Telegraph, no politician wants to spend their twilight years in the dock at The Hague, so it is with some seriousness that David Cameron and Rishi Sunak will have read the 17-page legal letter sent to them on Monday by 600 of the nation's top lawyers. So the Telegraph says the government is likely to be taking the advice, because it is a legal opinion, sent by the 600 legal scholars, judges, academics and lawyers, former Supreme Court judges. The government will take this extremely seriously, says the Telegraph, because the letter makes the case with some force that UK ministers and officials could be charged with the crimes of, quote, complicity to genocide and, quote, aiding and abetting genocide unless the country rapidly changes course in its relationship with Israel. The letter argues not only that arms sales to Israel should be stopped to avoid the risk of complicity to genocide, but that Britain's strategic partnership with Israel should be immediately suspended. The letter even names individuals who should be sanctioned by the British government, including the Israeli Defence Minister Yoav Gallant, because he made statements inciting genocide. The letter is deadly serious. It really is. I haven't read the entire letter, but it makes no, there's no polite language in this letter. The letter says you're complicit in genocide. You've got to stop the arms. You've got to break off your relationship with Israel and begin sanctioning serious, Israeli politicians, government ministers and whatnot. So it sets out the legal argument for the arms embargo. It says failure to comply with these obligations would incur UK state responsibility for the commission of genocide, and then reparations will have to be made for that. It's amazing, really. I mean, it's very good. You know, we've said it before. If you had a neighbour living across the street and you knew the neighbour was mad and you knew that he or she had homicidal intentions for another neighbour, and you were to give them a loaded shotgun, you are as guilty as the subsequent murder, as the murderer himself or herself. It is as simple as that. I know the law is complicated. No, no, it isn't that complicated. You know that the Israelis are committing genocide, attempting to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians. It is as obvious as today is Friday, the 5th of April. To continue to arm them makes you a party to the genocide, and could see people like Sunak, David Cameron in The Hague. Now, of course, this is not going to happen. You know, we know this, you know this, I know this. But it's good. The letter written by these scholars says the government must suspend the provision of weapons and weapon systems to Israel immediately, because failing to do so renders the UK complicit in genocide and complicit in aiding and assisting war crimes. 600 of the most senior judges and lawyers. And the government has not published the letter yet, but the Labour Party is saying publish that letter and any other advice you may have received since October 7th last year. We want to see it, and we want to see it now. But it's a cross-party thing. The Lib Dems, Independents, the Greens, the Scottish National Party are screaming for the government to publish any advice it has received over its relationship with Israel. Let's look inside The Express. This is an interesting one. There's an election looming, and The Express is going with Reform UK set to take huge number of seats from Conservatives' new poll reveals. Now, Reform UK is led by Richard Tice. It has an honorary president, Nigel Farage. It has an MP in theory, Lee Anderson, the former Conservative MP who'd been suspended by the Conservatives after he said that the Labour Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, was being controlled by Islamists. So he was kicked out of the Tory party, suspended temporarily. Before he could be kicked out permanently, he defected to Reform. Now, a poll has suggested that Reform could take a huge number of seats from the Tories. It is predicted the Tories could lose 41 seats to Reform, another significant blow when estimates already suggest Sunak's Tories could suffer a major defeat. Six of these seats are held by cabinet ministers. This is really interesting. They said before the last election that it was suggested by polling before the last general election back in 2019 that the Brexit Party might take a lot of seats from the Tories, but it never happened. A lot of votes went to the Brexit Party, as had previously happened in 2015. A lot of votes went to my memory is not what it should be very early on a Friday morning, but yeah, it's a poll of polls. YouGov, The Times coming together and says that basically analysis from the 2019 election suggested that the Brexit Party cost Boris Johnson's Conservatives 25 seats by standing in Labour seats during that election. Now, the Brexit Party didn't get a single seat in the House of Parliament, but votes going to the Brexit Party ultimately cost the Tories, according to this analysis. Now, the latest analysis, the YouGov MRP poll, suggests that Reform UK will do even more damage, and that Reform could take a lot of seats. And the party, I couldn't remember, was UKIP back in 2015. UKIP got a lot of votes, but those votes didn't translate into actual seats. But the votes did have an impact on where the power share ultimately went, right? So that's what they're claiming, that Reform, the presence of Reform in this election is spells a death sentence really for the Tories, because a lot of Tory voters are going to lend their vote to Reform. It might not mean that Reform ends up with lots of seats in Parliament. They might get a few, but that ultimately it is going to mean that Labour will win the election by an absolute landslide. I got there in the end, didn't I? It's pretty early. It's not so early now. It's 6:45 actually. as I record this. Here's a story in the Mail. It's horrifying. I tweeted a screen grab of this last night. This is one that's absolutely impossible to comprehend how it could happen. Depressed but physically healthy Dutch woman, 28 by the way, with borderline personality disorder, says she will end her life by euthanasia next month because doctors say she will never get better. She's fit, she's healthy, but has autism and a borderline personality disorder, and she is legally going to take her own life. The young woman's name is Zaria Terbake. She's a pretty woman, if I can say that. You know, she looks a very pleasant young woman. She says she will be, quote, freed next month. She will be euthanized on the sofa in her home with her boyfriend by her side. This sounds like science fiction, but it is real. A psychiatrist told her, there's nothing more we can do for you, and it's never going to get any better. That's according to the Free Press. A doctor will give her a sedative before administering a drug that will stop her heart. So a doctor is going to murder her. That's not an exaggeration. This isn't a case of this young woman taking a cocktail of pills herself. She'll be put down by a doctor. It's been legal since 2002 in Holland, including for those experiencing unbearable suffering with no prospect of improvement. And this isn't unbearable physical suffering. This also extends out to unbearable psychological suffering. And this is the staggering bit. I know I use the term staggering quite a lot, but I am staggered by this. I really am. After this woman kills herself, Soraya Terbake, or after she is killed by a doctor, a euthanasia review committee will evaluate her case to ensure the doctor adhered to all due care criteria, and if so, the Dutch government will declare her life was lawfully ended. This is madness. After she's dead, we'll have a review to make sure the doctor adhered to due care criteria. Preposterous. Why wouldn't you carry out that review as a preview? Well, let's look into it before this very attractive young woman, who seems to have it all going for her, you know, decides to lie on a sofa, take a sedative, and then be killed by a doctor. Let's just check out before we do this, or before it is done, that all due care criteria has been followed. Wow. She says she's in love with her boyfriend, but her mental health isn't improving. She's tired of living. She doesn't want a funeral. She wants to be cremated quickly. She's got it all planned out and believes that there's nothing afterwards. Nothing, she says, and has been referring to what is going to happen as liberation and freedom. Will lie on a couch, take a tablet to be sedated, and then a doctor will give her an injection that will stop her heart. We've said all there is to be said about this on the Richie Allen Show, and as I said on Twitter yesterday, be afraid, be very afraid, because this sort of lunacy is coming here, and if some people have their way, it is coming here soon. What a depressing story to finish up the Papers podcast this Friday, April 5th. But there it is. Amazing, isn't it? It's been spoken of quite a bit. Assisted dying. It should be referred to, of course, as assisted suicide, because the broadcaster Esther Ranson has got a terminal illness, and she says she shouldn't have to travel to Switzerland, to Zurich, to end her own life when things become unbearable, that she should be able to do it here. The law needs changing in the UK. We're going to hear a lot about assisted dying or assisted suicide as this calendar year goes on. Listen, come here and I tell you, that is it for the papers today. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening to the Richie Allen Show this week. I appreciate that you do. Now, for the month of April, the Sunday Morning Melodies music programme is on hiatus, okay? Meaning that it won't be on air. It returns on May the 5th. It's just to give me a wee break with all of the podcast recording and the Richie Allen shows. So the next time we talk will be this coming Monday. The Papers podcast will be online around about the usual time, around about 7 a.m. UK time. And the Richie Allen show returns this coming Monday at 4 o'clock, of course. So thank you again. I want to wish you a very, very, very productive weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a restful weekend. I hope it's not spoiled by Storm Kathleen. I'm sure it won't be. From the BBG then, until next time, it is Sloan Tommel. Bye now.